by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hi, this is Elliot Odell. What exactly does it mean to live by faith? The scriptures say that the just shall live this way. This is the believer in Christ's way of life. Living in obedience to God's word, his commandments, without requiring logical proof or evidence that God will do as he promised and make good on his word. This is living by faith. We live according to God's word, and if we obey, according to Job 36 verse 11, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. You and I, as believers, are to live our lives in willing obedience to God, completely dependent on him, honoring his word. This is living by faith. You and I are to be dependent on God, honoring his word to us. And we just heard earlier that God magnifies his word above his own name. And we know God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? This, in a nutshell, is living by faith. And we could end right here. It's a very simple concept, but it is a concept that, honestly speaking, most Christians exhibit very little confidence in this really being true. Oh, we understand the concept clearly, but although it is a simple concept, many find it challenging to actually make living by faith their way of life. Most believers, and I repeat, most believers, tragically fall into the trap of disobedience for fear that God may not make good on his word to them. And this is only because often it looks like if they were to obey, they are going to end up with problems that they don't want to face. So they disobey because they can't see a visible way for them to obey and come out okay. But God has promised that we will not only be okay, but actually much better off when we choose to obey him. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. The generation of the upright shall be blessed, and the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. So when we don't exhibit confidence in this with our actions, as faith without works is dead, what we are saying is, God, I can take better care of myself than you can. My way is best, which of course we know isn't true. If I were to ask believers today, which way is best, your way or God's way? They would say God's way. Some would even quote Isaiah 55, that God's ways and thoughts are higher than our ways and thoughts. Yet knowing this, we still go about doing things our way and then have the audacity to pray for God's blessing on it. And then we grumble and complain because we pray and ask for God to bless us and we don't seem to be getting ahead. While all the while, we are living in deliberate disobedience, trying to take care of ourselves instead of just trusting God. We honor God with our lips, but our hearts are far from him. We call him Lord, but he says, listen, I'm not your Lord unless you do my commandments. Those who do my commandments, it is they that love me. Isaiah 1:20 says, if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured. Isaiah 1:19 says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. If you seek the kingdom of God first and come into right standing with the laws which govern it by living in obedience to God's commandments, all the things you have need of will be added unto you. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. If you hear and do what God commands, you have chosen life and blessing. Blessings will overtake you, and all you set your hand to do will prosper. You won't have to beg God to bless anything. It's already blessed because you are in obedience. If you observe to do what he says to do, you will make your way prosperous and have good success. These are all things God promises us. But as long as you regard the word of your circumstances above God's, you will remain in a vicious circle of lack, sickness, stagnation, stress, and with little hope of satisfaction and fulfillment. You can invest in all the books, audio courses about prosperity, faith, and prayer. But my friend, until you make the conscious decision to live in obedience to what you learn from God's word, the blessings of God will always avoid you like the plague, and misfortune will always be your lot. You can educate yourself and learn about the promises of God being fulfilled and feel good about knowing this stuff and keep getting CDs and DVDs and books about it, addicted to hearing, getting your fix. But it really boils down to, will you obey the requirements that God has in order for those promises to be fulfilled? God withholds nothing from those walking uprightly before him. When you walk uprightly as a lifestyle in willing, loving obedience, living by faith, God will honor his promises to you. No good thing will be withheld from you ever again. So make the decision, repent, which means to go back to God's way and live in obedience to him, and you will experience what it is like to read a promise in the Bible and see it come off the page to being your actual experience in life. So let's get into how you as a believer live by faith and do so with confidence. What exactly is living by faith? Well, the scripture gives us an indication of what living by faith actually involves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, the word says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Living by faith therefore implies living in obedience to God's word regardless of what you see, with full-blown confidence that God will honor his words to you without you requiring visible proof that this is actually possible. You still believe obeying will be beneficial for you. So living by faith means we don't live according to the circumstances we see, always reacting to what situations life presents, and allowing our obedience to God to be dependent on and determined by them. No, living by faith means we consistently walk in obedience according to God's commandments, trusting that what God says will happen when we obey, not worrying about what the circumstances say might happen if we obey. God's word must have preference and be regarded as certain to come to pass when you obey. And you will obey and be consistent in doing so when you make the conscious decision to live in obedience no matter what. If faith can be defined as having a firm belief in something without needing any logical, tangible proof, then what is that something for us as believers? It's the word, not just anyone's word, more specifically the word of God. So to live by faith means to live in belief and accordance to the word of God, regardless of how things appear to be. Often circumstances may not reflect the truth of the word, but faith says, I believe the word of God is true. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18 tells us that this truth isn't often in the appearance of things or our circumstances. However, truth is eternal. Truth can change fact, but facts can't change truth. The truth is constant. We as believers are to believe the truth regardless of whether it appears to be fact at that time or not. The scriptures say the just shall live by his faith, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. When we are born again, the prescribed way for us to live is by faith. Faith is really an expression of your confidence in God and in his word. Faith is sort of like magic reversed. Magic makes visible things disappear. You may have heard the phrase, now you see it, now you don't. We call that magic. Now, I said faith is like magic reversed, but really, magic is faith reversed. In fact, magic is faith perverted by Satan, because faith is for making invisible things visible and physically tangible substance. First you can't see it, then you do. This is how the just live. Living by faith means we believe God's word when it doesn't look like it is possible that it can ever happen. And I'm so happy to say I have had something happen to me recently. It seemed impossible, but on the rainy evening of March 15th, 2008, it came to pass. And I asked for this to happen 8 years prior to that date, and it looked impossible all the way up until the very moment it happened, when the season was due. The just shall live by faith, not by sight. We have a tendency to give thanks for what visibly exists, because that is what's real to us. But what we don't see is real too. In truth, the things we don't see are of a higher state in nature, and we should be grateful for what we can't physically see, because it actually is already in existence in the invisible realm. And it's on its way to materialize and join you physically. Now, faith is the substance of things. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. We forget that we are in reality spiritual beings with the gift of a physical nature. We are in touch with two realms. My point is, you can be just as grateful for what you visibly see as you are for what you have envisioned but do not visibly see yet. Gratefulness for what cannot be seen is the gateway that will make what is invisible visible, because gratefulness is the evidence that you have faith for what is yet to come, to come. The word or idea you have envisioned is a real thing and is actual substance. It has already started to move towards the physical world. In order for it to come to pass, you need to respect the fact that this idea or word begins in seed form, and like any seed planted in the natural world, there is a gestation time period between its conception and actualization. This is how seed time and harvest works. You can understand it better if you say it slowly. There is seed, time, and harvest. Your desires are nothing more than the effort of unexpressed ability within you seeking physical expression through your actions. When you were born again, you were declared righteous or just, and this is how we, the just, are commissioned to live. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The just are to live by what they believe the word of God says, not by what they see. Living by faith is described really well in 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, I wanted to let you know something. Did you know God's power and potential on earth is limited by you? You are limiting God's power. What makes me say that? Well, God wants to perform all his will through you and I. He has unlimited potential, but we limit it because he cannot go beyond what our belief in him will let him do. You may think, Elliot, what are you saying? Surely God can do all things. Yes, you're right. He can. So what am I talking about? Look at what the scripture says about this. God's performance is limited in your life because his power is limited to the power or to the extent of your faith. Jesus said this in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith be it unto you. According to your faith, Paul said in his letter to the Ephesians, now unto him being God, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's what he's able to do. But watch this. According to the power that worketh in us. God wants to work through you. 2 Corinthians 10:15 says, he is having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you. That's powerful. So then, if we are to live by faith, then how do we get it? Paul answers this question for us in Romans chapter 10, verses 17. He says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is the source of faith we see in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things. That substance is the word of God. The word of God is therefore the substance of things. The word of God is the source of where all faith and where all things come from. The word of God, which when heard makes faith come, has been described in scripture as a seed. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The proof in scripture that the word of God is the substance of things is found in John 1, verse 14. And the word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So how exactly did the word transform from words to manifested physical, visible substance? John chapter 6, verse 63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. God's word gives birth to natural life. Now I'm going to show you in detail from the scripture more about how faith comes with the analogy given to us in scripture that the word is seed. And my motive for doing this is really so that you can be equipped to accomplish what the word promises you can. Then you can see God's will done in earth as it is in heaven, because God wants his will done through you. You are not here by accident. This is your divine appointment to make advancement towards your destiny, to fulfill your God-given assignment in this earth. And this is where things become clear and get really exciting. Are you ready? Let's get it. Jesus used the illustration of a farmer to explain how the kingdom of God actually works. And he said unto them, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables?" Jesus was saying, if you don't know this parable I'm using to illustrate how the kingdom of God works, then how will you understand all the others I give you? So it is of utmost importance that you pay attention to understand this parable. Out of all the illustrations Jesus gave, he is basically saying here, this is the most important of all to understand. Anyway, Jesus goes on to say, the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground. You have to become a farmer of the word. It is your responsibility to select the appropriate seed you want to become the fruit you want to harvest. Plant it into the ground of your heart and it will begin to grow, and the word will become flesh, manifested substance, living with you. God gave man seed as a gift, even in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 1 verse 12 says, and the earth brought forth grass and herb, yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. Seed bears fruit after its own kind. If, for example, you want to harvest love, then plant the seed in the word of God about love in your heart, and you will experience it in your life. When the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith, in Luke 17, the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, in order for a tree to come of a seed, it must be planted. Now, the seed we have is the word of God, and when we hear it, that seed is planted in the soil of our heart. When the word is heard or planted, it grows and faith comes. Now, Jesus knew every man had been dealt the measure of faith. What Jesus was saying to his disciples was, even if the measure of faith you have is the size of a mustard seed, that is enough to accomplish great things. By faith, we have been given access to the wisdom of God that men of the world don't know. No man has heard or seen what is prepared for those that love God, but he reveals it to us by his Spirit. God will reveal to us by his Holy Spirit the solutions and answers to problems your natural mind can't figure out. When God puts his super on your natural, you have supernatural advantage over men of the world. They can't get in on this. We have been granted access to an unlimited treasury of wisdom. The world doesn't know how to live. We live by faith. We are the light of the world. Now, in order to tap into this treasury of wisdom, you need to meditate the word. And going by the analogy that the word is seed, you need to meditate the word so it gets deep enough into the soil of your heart so that it can grow roots and yield a substantial harvest. And this is why I believe faith boosters are so powerful. You have the opportunity to plant the word into your heart and be encouraged watching it grow. Now, back to the parable Jesus was telling about the kingdom being like a man sowing seeds. Jesus spoke about seeds being sown into three different types of ground that didn't get a harvest and one that did. So we want to be sure we sow the word of God into the right soil every time. Because when we do, according to Isaiah 55 verse 10 to 11, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Listen to Jesus giving his illustration of the word and how the kingdom of God operates, starting in Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went a sower to sow. Now what does the sower sow? Jesus said in verse 14, the sower soweth the word. Jesus goes on to describe the three different types of unproductive soil the word was sown into. Mark chapter 4, verses 4 and 7. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. In verses 15 to 19, Jesus actually explains their actual situations. He was using the illustration to describe exactly what happens when the word is sown into the soil he considers to be unproductive. Verse 15. Now this is the first soil. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Second soil. And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Third soil. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And I think this is the one most people are sowing the word of God into. One thing is for sure, Satan will come to try and steal the word. He will come. However, don't be misled to think that Satan can just come and steal the word at will, because you are the one who determines whether or not he accomplishes that objective. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He only may if you let him. However, if you remain sober and vigilant and aware of what he plans on doing to your soil or heart, when circumstances come up which are contrary to the word, and you are aware Satan is trying to mess up that word, and you are determined to not let him succeed, he will have trouble devouring the word in your heart, because you know what he's up to. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When things happen to you, don't think, God is forsaking me. Think, no, Satan is up to his old tricks again, and in Jesus' name, I am not tolerating this. God's word is true, not this circumstance. When you do that, do you know what you've done? You've guarded your heart with the shield of faith and the sword of the word from the armor of God. Satan cannot devour you. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You are born of God, and in him you are overcome. You have overcome the world and its circumstances. Circumstances is just one of the ways the enemy tries to deceive us. Matthew chapter 13 explains this further in verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. In that case, it would be a wise idea to follow the advice given in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4 and 7. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. This is why the word says, be sober, be vigilant. Satan cannot take away from you what you understand. He can only take from you what you don't understand. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. If you don't get understanding, that's when Satan can have his way with you, because he can play tricks on you to twist and nullify anything you hear which you don't comprehend. Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. As long as you don't have understanding of God's word, you are of no threat to Satan. His beef is with God. What he is trying to do is stop everything God said from coming to pass. God's words come to pass by it being understood and planted in your heart. When you do that, you have just threatened the devil. You have something going on which he wants to stop from being produced because it is detrimental to his cause. Satan knows once you get your first harvest from the word seed you sowed, he is going to have trouble stopping you with any other seed from the word which you plant in your heart. Because if you follow the exact same sequence and work out how that system works, you can keep doing it over and over again. And he is petrified that Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2 will keep reproducing in your life, that he may prove what is that good, acceptable and perfect will of God. And that makes him look bad, because others will see through you the benefit of serving the Father and living as he suggested, presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and they will see that being confirmed to this world is utter foolishness. And they will see sense in joining the kingdom of light, being transformed by the renewing of their minds. Then they will tell others, and then the whole planet will be ranting and raving about what the word has accomplished for them, and Satan loses ground, not to mention suffers a severe blow to his ego. No, he doesn't want that. So after the word is sown, Satan comes immediately to steal it by planting seeds of doubt and deception in your mind, in the hope that you will quit. So don't be afraid of the opposition he puts against you. If he is opposing you, it is because he is scared you will produce something and bring manifestation of God's word. He doesn't want the word to become flesh, because each time it does, it brings glory to God, and he hates that, and it's a testimony of victory against him. So remember, when he tries to give you a hard time, he is afraid. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. We are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just be confident of this truth. Whatever Satan brings on, know this, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. The Bible says Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So as he comes with his doubt and suggestions, with bad reports contradicting the word, don't pay mind to it. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us what we should be doing when Satan does this. Just start casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And here's what you are supposed to pay mind to. Whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Oh, and by the way, he will use people and circumstances against you. But don't get angry at those people or circumstances, especially the ones you bring on yourself. But when people hurt you, just remember that the devil is the master at throwing a rock and hiding himself so you don't think it's him, and you get mad at the wrong one. So remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hate the deed, not the person, as my mother would say. Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. Not only that, but your dream and any word God plants in you. Why does Satan come immediately for the word you plant in your heart? To attempt to stop what God has planted in you from even growing roots, let alone bearing fruit. He is afraid. He plants doubts, fear, and might even make the circumstances you face worse to get you to doubt God's word will come to pass. He comes immediately. He is ruthless. This is why you need something like faith boosters, because faith is your shield of defense. The word is the sword you can stab him with. Faith is a fight. It's combat, spiritual warfare. The flesh wars against the spirit. Satan uses your flesh, your circumstances, to make you doubt the word. Faith is a fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Allowing doubt to come in is not fighting. It's lying down, rolling over, and taking a beating like a sissy. You are not a sissy. You are more than a conqueror and a mighty person of valor. Walk in the spirit, in the word, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That is how you fight the good fight of faith. Allow me to sow the word into your heart, but don't expect the enemy to take it lying down. He will challenge you, but you don't have to take his attacks either. Use the word and attack him. Speak only the word in response to any circumstance that he throws your way. Jesus said, "Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Get to understand the word, not just hear it. Satan will try to manipulate what you don't understand. In all you're getting, get understanding of what the word says. Satan can't steal from you what you understand. The reason the enemy attacks you is not so much because he wants to stop you. He wants to stop God's word. He is scared of God's word coming to pass. Why? Because the word makes statements about him that illustrate how bleak his future is, and he is terrified of that coming to pass. So he tries to stop the word of God coming to pass every way he can, whenever or wherever it is being planted, to stop the word which will conquer him and take over the territory he has stolen. The word in you means to the devil you are a threat, so he attacks you by making your circumstances appear far opposite to what the word says is true in an attempt to make you doubt it. He knows that the double-minded person shall not receive anything from God. If you are fully persuaded that God is able to perform that which he promised, Satan is in trouble. He doesn't want you to gain even more confidence. When the word comes to pass, you gain further confidence, and then you go ranting and raving about it, and it gets worse for him if you tell others he loses ground. So when he comes, don't be scared. Submit to God, resist him, and he will run scared. You have not been given the spirit of fear, And he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is born of God has overcome the world. You are more than a conqueror. The devil is a defeated foe. Get ready to fight him and knock him out. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. Tell the devil you're finished. The devil has to seek to devour, which means he has to look for whom he may devour. The ignorant ones. When you have understanding, he can't devour or destroy you. So, that covers the seeds sown into the unproductive soil. Now, Jesus goes on to describe the fourth type of soil he refers to as productive. We're at Mark chapter 4, verse 8. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Verse 21. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? Jesus is saying, the word is not meant to be hidden, but made to illuminate the world. Verse 22. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. When the word was spoken, it was intended to be made manifest. When you hide it in the soil of your heart, it grows above the soil to become visible. God's word will not return to him void. It will produce fruit. See Isaiah 55 verse 11. Listen carefully as Jesus explains productive soil in verses 23 to 24. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And Jesus said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Jesus is saying, pay attention to whose words you let influence you, because the amount of attention you give to whatever you allow to speak to you, i.e. the amount of fruit the word seed produces, will be equivalent to the amount of word seed you allow to be sown into your heart. And whatever you do give attention to, even more will be given. Verse 24 of the Amplified Bible says, and he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. How much time you spend with the word seed determines how much you will gain from it. You are farming faith. Until the planted seed of the word births an image of the word and you can see it in your heart, you won't see it in your hand. You need an inner image of the word. You need to be able to see yourself living with the manifested image of the word you hid in your heart. Nothing can happen in earth unless it has first been conceived in image in the imagination of a man. Check out what God said when men had the image of the Tower of Babel and they began building it. He said, now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. When God changed Abram's name to Abraham, meaning father of many nations, he also gave him an image. The stars in the sky and the sand on the ground symbolized to him the numerous descendants to come from him. Abraham is the father of our faith, and we are the many nations God was talking to him about. So whenever Abraham would introduce himself, he was reminding himself that he was the father of many nations, and also informing everyone who he met who he was. When he said, my name is Abraham, and when people called his name, he was reminded and they were reminded he was the father of many nations. So effectively, as Mark 4:24 says, Abraham gave great measure of thought and study to the word of God spoken to him. The word was hidden in his heart. The image was built. He could see it in his heart. And now today we see that which was hidden in his heart has been manifested. He is the father of our faith. We are the many nations God was talking about. Abraham spent so much time with that word until Romans chapter 4 verse 20-21 said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he promised, he was able also to perform. He was in faith, nothing wavering. That's what brought the word to come to pass. James 1 chapter 5-8 says, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What Satan does is give you a second image other than the word's image and tries to get you to worry about it. You give thought and study to it and as to why the word won't work. When you have a thought contrary to the word, immediately respond with what the word says about the situation. The things which are seen are temporary. Get the word and meditate it. Also, get pictures of what you want so you have an image to work with. This is why in this package I have included as a free bonus my vision book promises, as well as the five essential elements needed to accomplish any goal you want. These both will show you how to take scriptures and meditate them until it becomes alive to you. The words God speaks are spiritual energy. They have life in them to produce their physical counterpart. You must have the word at the forefront of your mind. Verse 25 in Mark 4 tells you why. Verse 25. For he that hath the word, to him shall be given. He that hath not the word, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. The individual who has the word will have the manifestation of that word given to them. The person that doesn't have the word in their heart, the devil will come immediately to take whatever they do have. And the word will produce nothing for them, even though they heard it. Jesus goes on with this parable, verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. By the way, when the Bible says kingdom of God, it is referring to God's way of doing things. So is the kingdom of God. In other words, God, the king's dominion method, is as if a man should cast seed of God's word into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed of God's word should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit, manifestation of the word, is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. So, Jesus said, God's way of doing things is seek, read, hear the word seed, which is planting the word. Do the word, which is watering the plant. Go about your business and the word will produce itself. It is not your job to wonder or even care how. It just does. So do your part and the harvest of fruit will come. Jesus went on to say, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? The way God does things, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. If you know anything about a seed, it grows down to establish its roots first, and then it grows up and breaks through the ground. The same is true of word seed. The word may seem small and insignificant because it is not seen, but when it is sown, it grows and becomes greater than any other bigger, seemingly more significant seed of doubt that is sown. Plant the word seed. Hide it in the soil of your heart. Any word you hide will be revealed to you more and more and be made manifest in your life. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret but that it should come abroad. Jesus was illustrating to us this is how we form faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because faith is God's way of doing things. The just shall live by faith. Nothing in the kingdom works without faith, and faith won't work without love. So if the just live by faith, they must be also living in love. Otherwise, their faith won't work. Faith without works is dead, so the just that live by faith must also work. Living by faith means loving and working. 1 Thessalonians 1 chapter 3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. To tie this all together, here is exactly what we need to do to make all this work. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 tells us exactly what we need to do. This is the lifestyle of the just. This is what gets the results which you as a believer have always been after. You need not wonder any longer. Check this out. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. I'll tell you one thing. Faith boosters are not for those who don't want to see the word of God come to pass in their life. You can't listen to faith boosters and remain ignorant of exactly what to do to experience results. Results that you can cause to happen on purpose every time. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can prosper right where you are planted. You need to keep the word in the soil of your heart long enough to take root. Then you need to water it and give it sunlight for it to grow up. But remember, a root grows down before it grows up. So don't be upset when you don't see the harvest immediately. There is seed, time, then harvest. If you have a vision or any desire of your heart that is not yet manifested, and you want this dream to become your experience, the rest of the faith boosters will be of extraordinary value to you. I've not seen anything else like it. Most materials are just spiritually based concepts and don't give you the crucial practical elements you need to implement to make it work. I've also come across a lot of materials that have all the practical things to do, but there is no supernatural force of empowerment behind them, and therefore they have no substance. And this is the very reason I believe so strongly that Faith Boosters is the best resource known to me currently available. Why? Because this is the only resource that I've seen that highlights the spiritual aspects required whilst also giving attention to the necessary practical things you must do as well. Only if you want to see results, that is. Now, Faith Boosters combines faith with works as biblically recommended in the book of James. Faith with works is the proven sure shot formula for success in any endeavor. You'll learn the natural things necessary whilst leveraging on the superiority of the spirit realm working on your behalf, making you supernatural without limits. This may seem impossible now, but after you get on the other side of success with this system, you will look back and think, wow, wasn't that really simple? I've learned that there are 21 secrets you need to know and understand in order to be successful in making the Word of God manifest in every aspect of your life. When you begin implementing these 21 different things that everybody is capable of doing, then your success is guaranteed without question. Without acting on these, you are at a severe disadvantage. The odds of your success are greatly reduced, so it helps to be certain of what those 21 simple secrets are. Do them and be a success and teach others. Now, before I go, I would like to let you in on a little secret. Here is how we know God's word will work for us, even in the face of opposition. God is for us. Romans 8:32 says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things?" God is on our side. You are highly favored of God. Why? Because your assignment is based on his agenda. So why wouldn't he help you? He wants to maintain the integrity of his word and keep it respectable. So he will keep it. God will open doors for you and put you before great people just to bring the word he promised you to come to pass. So this is how we use his word to our advantage. His word is the most powerful leverage we can stand on because he doesn't have the capability to lie. If he says something, his words are so powerful they have to happen no matter what. If he said something untrue, it still wouldn't be a lie because his word is so powerful that just because it was him that said it, it would have to come to pass inevitably. The untrue word spoken would become true. That is how powerful his word is. Hold God to his word. His word will not return to him without accomplishing that which he said it would. If he says something, he will make it good. Now, I just gave you a very brief small dose about the power and integrity of God's word for just 15 seconds. If your faith was stirred up by that, just imagine what 15 minutes would do if you just listened. Then what if you devoted an hour a day, once a day, meditating on the integrity and power of God's word for an entire month, fully immersed in it? How hard do you think it would be to doubt any promise of God ever again, even for a moment? The limits on your faith would have been pushed to incalculable levels. Your faith would be much larger than a mustard seed, that's for sure. If the Lord said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you," then just imagine what you could do with faith the size of a lemon. God's unlimited power can go much further every time you raise the bar. Even though he is capable of doing above that which you can ask or think, he can only work through you as far as your faith will let him go. What your unlimited God can do through you is limited to what you will believe. You need to increase your capacity to believe by planting the word and letting it grow in your heart. It needs to become a habit to stir up your faith and keep in the word constantly. Faith Boosters is the most powerful assistant I know of to help you do this. God has placed dreams and unlimited potential in you. This is why God has placed passion in me to equip you so he can see his dreams realized through you. He wants to show himself to the world strong in you. If you enjoyed what you heard just now, let me tell you, this is just a taster. I'm just barely getting started scratching the surface. Your spirit man is hungry for the Word of God. Feed it. The good thing about the Word of God is you can never eat too much. You can consume copious quantities of the most exquisite spiritual cuisine and never be accused of gluttony. I'm excited because this is what changed my life and will change yours too, inevitably. If you want change and finally see the Word work for you in your life, and by work I mean actually see results, then these Faith Boosters will be of great value to you. Join me in this like many others have done. It really is powerful. Now, I must warn you, who Faith Boosters is not for. It's not for those who wish to invest in a program, fooling themselves thinking that just by owning this product, then their life will be transformed. My friend, this won't transform your life. Only you, with God's help, can accomplish that. Owning Faith Boosters isn't going to do it. Your obedience to the principles in God's Word, which Faith Boosters highlights, is what will do it. So the key to success here is your obedience. If you want to own Faith Boosters and not do anything different, I sincerely advise you, save your time and whatever else you will invest to take advantage of this opportunity. Seriously. As you can see, I'm not interested in trying to sell as many units as possible. I just want to help transform as many lives as possible. If you're not going to do anything different, seriously, getting Faith Boosters will be a royal waste of your time. If you want results from this, follow the advice in the book of James. Be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Now, I'd also like to add, by investing in Faith Boosters, you are putting yourself at risk because you are going to learn a lot and you are accountable to obey the truth you learn. So I'd think about this carefully. You're better off not knowing what to do than knowing what to do and not doing it. However, if you have resolved in your heart, I've had enough of living the way I have been, I want to change my life, I'm going to do whatever God requires of me, from this day forward I'm going to be a doer of the Word, then Faith Boosters certainly is for you. And I look forward to hearing how God has turned your life around. Faith Boosters is for doers only, which is one of the reasons why I don't release these modules all at once. A module is released weekly so you can learn and do, rather than being tempted to just listen to the whole lot and never do anything. So by the time you get through to the end, you will be applying everything, being obedient to God's principles, and you will spend your years in pleasures and your days in prosperity, with no good thing being withheld from you. So I wouldn't take advantage of this opportunity if you are content with where you are. If you want to stay where you are, then Faith Boosters is sure to ruin that for you. If you are uncomfortable with becoming a faith giant, making a difference in the world around you, and transforming the quality of the life you live, then I would recommend you leave Faith Boosters alone. If you are comfortable, great, I'll see you inside. I'm going to teach you everything I know. Then the Spirit of God will take over from there. Jesus said, "The Spirit will teach you all things and bring things to your remembrance." I've been on both sides of success, and I know what it's like to be frustrated, not why things that are supposed to work aren't working. I also know what it's like to walk in victory, being 100% certain, 100% of the time, knowing that I will experience results every time I apply the Word. I'm not better than anybody else. I'm not a golden child that God likes better than everybody else. God is no respecter of persons. I'm just fortunate enough to know enough about God and his kingdom, which allows me to have a different attitude towards things. I may have slightly more understanding than the average person, so I know what gets results and what is required, and I can teach it to you, and I'll be honored to help you. Basically, there is an exact, effective science behind what makes this all work. And the reason I call it science is because it is consistent. It always works without fail, all the time, for anyone who applies it. They will definitely experience the exact same results every time. How does this science benefit you? Well, it means you won't have to shoot in the dark aimlessly anymore. Because when you know what the science is, you will see to it that you do the exact same thing every time and get consistent results. Let's be real for a moment. Don't you think it's about time you terminated all the high frustration of guesswork from this point on? Up to now, whatever you try only works sometimes, if at all. How about instead having access to all the 21 essential scientific guaranteed to work secrets based on nothing other than the uncompromised words of God, which have been utilized successfully millenniums before us by the characters in scripture who were successful in applying the word, and finally be absolutely certain from here onwards that what you apply will work for you? Then let the exciting journey begin. Now, you'll probably be surprised to know that successful implementation of these 21 principles may only require small changes in your current techniques. Though the changes may be small, it results in very big differences, which makes you immensely effective beyond your wildest dreams in an entirely honest and ethical way. It's really just a case of becoming obedient, and Faith Boosters is designed to show you what exactly you need to be obedient to. Without a scientific, sure-to-work system, you leave everything up. You have to have specific actions and exercises created with a plan so that you can ensure results. You have to know the exercises you are doing are effective and proven. There is a reason Jesus instructed us to seek first the kingdom of God. He wants us to know how it operates. Then he said to seek his righteousness, which means to be in alignment with the principles of the kingdom and how you should conduct yourself. Jesus promised that when you do these things, all these things that you are after will be added onto you. Now, I want to teach you how to operate in the kingdom of God to make it effective for you. I know what works and what doesn't. I learned from mistakes of my own and others, and I'm going to show you all the things that will work well for you. Most Christians walk blindly their whole lives, not knowing a thing about the kingdom, and I want to change that so that it is the majority of Christians and not the minority that experiences the miraculous in their life. Every Christian should be about their Father's business, advancing the kingdom, and that's what we are about here at Kingdom Advancement International. But in order to advance the kingdom, we must first advance ourselves, and I want to see every believer fulfilling their God-given destinies without a solitary dream or vision going to waste. Now, you may think that is a huge vision for one person, but with God, all things are possible, and I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. With God, one person can change the world. The Bible says one can put 10 to flight, two can put 1,000 to flight. One person with God and other people helping can make a vast difference. To change the majority of inactive Christians into Christians actively making a difference in the kingdom, one needs to equip those people. One needs to know what works and what doesn't and teach people accordingly. All I know is God can only work with you according to your faith. Most people's faith fails not because they're stupid or inadequate. Most people's faith fails because they lack knowledge in areas which are vital to their success. A lot of people are exposed to copious amounts of teaching that is filled with doubt and unbelief and things that are not going to build up your faith. This happens because people haven't rightly understood the word of God. things get taken out of context and a whole movement can be created because of a misunderstanding, and worse, a misunderstanding can fast become an ineffective traditional way of thinking. And because it is a tradition, nobody questions it. Well, we should question something if it isn't working. You will know what doctrine is effective and what's not by its fruits. Jesus said, "The traditions of men make the word of God of none effect." This is why so many prayers seem to go unanswered. People aren't confident in what they believe. They aren't sure God will give it to them. This attitude will not work. There are ways to be sure. The Bible has made it clear you need to become confident that what God promised is His will, and He will bring His will to come to pass. We cannot afford to waver in faith. We have to be certain and not in two minds about things, just because things don't happen the way we think they should. Once you ask according to His will or His word, whatever you ask is yours. End of story. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You can't ask, then doubt, and still expect it to be yours. Do not tolerate, even for a single moment, anything contrary to the word you believe. Cast down every thought and imagination that exalts itself against God, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Ask and it is given. It is done. Not going to be done. It is done. Let this moment mark the beginning of a very exciting journey. May you prosper in all things and become a powerful ambassador for Christ and influence all around you with the power of your Father's kingdom in operation, so He may be glorified. I'm looking forward to taking this journey with you. I'm Elliot Odell. I'll see you soon. Thank you.